Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy C. I'm from New York and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. And today is Wednesday, February 11th, 2026. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We are in There's a Solution. We are on page 18, the fifth paragraph going into the top of page 19. Today's readers. For the 12 steps, we have Sarah G., the 12 traditions, Maura Z., reader of the text is Marge O., page 164 is Trish D., our backup is Lynn F., announcements Kathy S., our newcomer greeter is Devorah S., and our second hour host is Ken W.H. The share IDs for yesterday, Tuesday, February 10th, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 23,198, that is 23,198. And for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 23,199, that is 23,199. Our OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Sarah G. to please come in and read the 12 steps for us.
Good morning. Thank you, everyone, for your service. This is Sarah G. from New York. Excuse me. Here are the 12 steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Excuse me. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, make direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to other overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, Nathan.
Thank you, Sarah. I will now ask Maura Z. to please read the 12 traditions. Come on in, Maura. Maura, please press star one.
My apologies. Good morning, Kathy.
Oh, that's
Thank
okay.
you for your service.
That's fine. Sure.
12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose. to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Thus, problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Maura. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, and I will be able to time you. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study in the Big Book. We are in There Is a Solution. We are on page 18, bottom of the page, the fifth paragraph. Starts with that the man who is making the approach, goes into the top of page 19 and ends with take up their beds and walk again. I will now ask Marge O. to please begin reading. Come on in, Marge.
Good morning, and thank you for this opportunity. I'm Marge O. from Massachusetts, recovered and living a lovely life a day at a time. That the man who was making the approach has had the same difficulty, that he obviously knows what he is talking about, that his whole deportment shouts at the new prospect, that he is a man with a real answer, that he has no attitude of holier than thou, nothing whatever except as a sincere desire to be helpful, that there are no fees to pay, no axes to grind, no people to please, no lectures to be endured. These are the conditions which we have found most effective. After such an approach, many take up their beds and walk again. So this is key to us for our, regarding service to the next person. And even though we're at the beginning of, there is a solution, it really is true that there is no one like the person who has suffered the consequences of overeating and tried to control it through the many diets. I can so remember always whatever the magazine of the month was way back, Red Book and Look and all in Good Housekeeping. They always had a diet for us. There were so many different diets and no understanding of what it was like. I remember going to things like Weight Watchers. We used to call it Weigh and Pay. And, they would tell you way back you could have free food and that you could eat as much as you want because there were barely any calories in it. Worst thing you could ever say to a compulsive overeater, because that's exactly what I did. I would buy a 3-pound can of spinach and eat it for a snack and just want more, want more, want more. It isn't until I learned here that you put it down and you have an honest assessment of what you eat and what does stir up the allergy in your body, and be willing to tell another person that, you know, this is what I do. And because I've enjoyed, you know, a lot of this program and enjoyed having people to talk to and have people call me and help them through the 12 steps and to a freedom that I've never known before until I joined OA, and not in the beginning, but as time went on, and especially since, you know, my time in Visions, just to recognize that this is how I keep what I have. I reach out to others, I tell them what happened to me, and I let them decide. And sometimes you go along so long with a person, and then they outgrow you, or they decide they don't want this program, or whatever. But, you know, to be able to turn that over to my higher power and just say, what is, talk to other people about it, because I can act like a wounded soldier. What did I do wrong? I must have messed up. That can conjure all that stuff up. But a day at a time, by reaching out, I have learned I'm doing the best I can a day at a time, and this is where I want to be, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. So thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Mark, for getting us started. I'm now going to take a list of names, and although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience soon. So, if you'd like to share, please press star 1 to unmute your phone, and I'm ready to take the first lineup. Shelly B. I heard Shelly B. I can only hear Shelly B.
Suzanne M.
I heard Suzanne M. Gotcha, Hanietta. Leia, thank you.
Lisa C.
Thank you, Lisa. I have Shelly, Suzanne, Anietta, Leia, Lisa C. Is there anyone else that would like to share in the first lineup?
Do you have Dorita? Did you get Dorita?
Yes, thank you. I have you now. Thank you, Dorita.
NWH.
Tony B.
Thank you, Ken. I didn't hear who was after Ken.
Tony B.
Good. Okay, great. Okay, anyone else? Because we could start the first lineup.
Karen K.
Okie dokie. We're good with that. Thank you so much. Okay, we're going to start with Shelly B, followed by Suzanne M. Come on in, Shelly.
Good morning. This is Shelly B in Iowa, and I apologize. I'm out walking. So anyway, that was a great reading. That was a wonderful first share. And what I think about when she was talking and reading was the directions are in the book for me. And for sure that's the case. But like it talked about, there's no lectures to endure or any of that kind of stuff. Nobody's asking me to do anything. They're suggestions. However, it was also suggested that I wear a parachute when I jump out of an airplane. And I know for me today, like I need to go to meetings, I need to make phone calls, I need to inventory, I need to pray, and I don't do any of those things well unless I'm in the fellowship. And if I'm just hovering around the fellowship, I get nothing. So I really have to immerse myself in the fellowship and just be around others who are like me. You know, when I got here and people started to share with things they did with food, like pull it out of the garbage and eat it frozen, all of those things, I was like, oh my God, that's stuff I do that I swore I would never tell anyone and I would never do it in front of anyone. And here there are people that did it just like me. And so then when you shared that you had a solution for this, my ears perked up. And it's taken me a little while to get abstinent, but I'm so grateful, so grateful. And and to remember to stay in conscious contact with God, I do that by communicating with other people in the program. Like, you guys remind me who's really in charge. You remind me where the power is and how to connect to it. And I'm so grateful for that. And that's all I have. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much. That was Shelley B. from Iowa. Next up, we have Suzanne M., followed by Hanietta R. And before Suzanne comes in, I just want to remind if anyone came in after we started, we are on page 18, the last paragraph, the fifth paragraph, that the man who is making the approach, going into the top of page 19. Suzanne, please come in and share with us.
Good morning, family. My name is Suzanne M. I'm from Warminster, Pennsylvania. Grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you for being in service. The first thing that comes to mind for me, what a fabulous read. Thank you for the lead chair. The therapeutic value of one addict helping another is without parallel. There is nothing like it. There's nothing like somebody telling our story, somebody who knows, like somebody said, what we do with food. Somebody who knows that I buy like four bags of candy and eat every one continuously. Somebody that knows that all the Halloween candy I buy is gone long before Halloween and I have to get more, okay? And it's never enough. And by the grace of God and through this program, I have become abstinent and I don't have to live like that anymore. It talks about not being preachy, you know, we're about attraction rather than promotion. Although I have to be very careful with the preachy because, you know, this program and other 12-step programs have saved my life. Excitement and enthusiasm for program versus preachiness can be very close for me. There is a beautiful song called Testimony by Terrain, and it says, I am a living, breathing, walking testimony of what the Lord has done. This is my life. He has done this. None of this is out of my hand. I mean, it's from me. When I turn my will over to His will, things are okay. It gives hope. And I have a new acronym I've been sharing for hope. Hold on, the pain ends. And how beautiful that really is. And I'll finish with the end. It talks about rising and, you know, from a bed and participating in life, right? I don't have to be isolated in my bedroom, hiding what I'm doing all the time. I can get out of bed and I can walk the earth and I can live to live. You know, somebody recently talked about having a food plan with three meals a day and living in between. Amen. This program and a vision for you and my higher power have given me the ability to live my life now and not have it focused on food and food thoughts. What an absolute miracle. And I thank you all, and I love you all. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much. That was Suzanne M. from Pennsylvania. Next up, we have Hanietta R. from Texas, and then followed by Leah S. Come on in, Hanietta.
Thank you. Thank you. I love when you are the moderator. You do such a great job. Thank you for your service. My name is Hanietta, C-H-A-N-A hyphen Y-E-T-T-A, and you want to look for me in the website. I want to welcome all the newcomers. I love the newcomers. You're the most important people to me because I can't keep what I have unless I give it away. So, glad you're here. I'd like to share on, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Plano, Texas. I like where it says that there's no attitude of holier than thou, nothing whatever except the sincere desire to be helpful, that there are no fees to pay, no axes to grind, no people to please, no lectures to endure. You know, when I first came in many decades ago, I just came into the meeting. Somebody brought me to the meeting. I had no idea what it was. And I didn't feel any of those things. There were just people there. They all shared. It was scary. It was nothing that I'd ever been before. They cast a basket. You put in what you could. They said, even if it's just a quarter, it's okay. And they were just so nice and understanding. They were so understanding because they'd been there before. If I'd say I'd done something, somebody would say something, well, I've done this, which is worse than that, you know? And not that they were trying to be one up on me, but to try to show me that nothing that I've done is any worse or better than the rest of them. And it was such a great feeling. I really wanted to go back. And I hadn't felt that way in pretty much any of the other things that I've tried, which wasn't many, because all I wanted to do was to be, God forbid, in an accident and be in a coma for a year and wake up thin. And that's why I got into surgeries. I had 3 surgeries to lose weight. But, you know, I'm maintaining like 115 pounds weight loss. I really do have about 10, 15 pounds that I would like to take off, but right now that's not what's happening. As long as I stay abstinent, then eventually, if that's what my higher power God wants to happen, then it'll happen. And I went to my cardiologist, and he said, you know, the only thing you can do now is if you want to really lose weight, because you're really at a point where what you're eating is proper, then you'd have to start exercising a whole bunch. I was like, well, I guess I'll stay at this weight.
That's anyway. Fine, Donietta.
Okay, thanks. I love you guys. Thanks. Don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle.
Thank you so much. That's Donietta R. from Texas. Next up, we have Leah S., followed by Lisa C. Come on in, Leah.
Hello? Hello?
Good morning, Leah. We hear you now.
Oh, good morning. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. My name is Leah S., and I'm from Brooklyn, New York, and I'm grateful to be on today. Take up their beds, you know, that metaphor. They get off from their beds. You know, when I was overweight and I was absolutely not aware of what I was continuously doing, I would also be living, so to speak. But when the kids said, Ma, let's go to the park, I would be looking at each block. Where is there a bench that I could sit down to? When I would come into a place, where is the living room so I can sit down to? I never thought about participating in their ball games or their anything that would be physical was too hard for me, and I would avoid it. And now it's coming back to me. All these things that I'm doing, forget about the physical things. It's just like I'm living. I'm actually really enjoying every minute of the day or making use of every minute of the day. That means something. And it never, you know, it never meant like it was going to mean something to me. But I never intended to go out there, you know, that every day should mean something to me. But I look forward to things. I look forward to new things. And I don't care if you tell me at your age, because you're as young as your heart is. And if you're able to try to physically do, you're able to. And it's just so remarkable. There are so many more things that I could say. But I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was Leah S. from New York. Next up, we have Lisa C., followed by Dorita P. Come on in, Lisa.
Hi, good morning. This is Lisa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. Thank you, everyone, for your service and for all of the wonderful shares. You know, I really need this meeting, and I feel like what is being described in this paragraph when I'm looking at it today with fresh eyes, I'm just noticing that this is the description of a healthy meeting of, you know, any 12-step program. And this is the description of a healthy sponsor in any 12-step program. And, you know, we're human. I'll speak for myself. You know, I don't sponsor perfectly, and I'm not a perfect participant in this meeting. And, you know, but here are the ideals. Here's what we're striving for. And here is how we know, at least for me, this is how I know that I'm in a meeting where I'm going to hear the message that will lead me to my higher power, that will lead me to power, because I am truly powerless. And, you know, circling back to the prior paragraph from yesterday, you know, understanding that every day, reteaching myself every single day. Oh, you're still powerless today, Lisa. You're still powerless this hour. Oh, look, it's 5 o'clock, still powerless. 7 o'clock, still powerless. You know, and I think that is what then helps me to come to the meeting and to come to any fellow I communicate with, you know, with that understanding that I need to hear what is being said. I need to hear what's being shared. I need to come back to the book because it always leads me back to prayer and meditation and connecting to the source that enables me to be a productive member, a productive citizen in my community, in the world, in this meeting with other fellows as a sponsor, all of those things. And I think it's really important, you know, for me to like just be reminded that this is how I do it to the best of my ability, right? This is how I think my higher power wants me to show up, right? To share my story, right? Obviously know what I'm talking about, that I have conceded to my innermost self that I am a compulsive overeater, that I have a food problem, and that I'm not better than anyone else. And that's important. That's all capitalized there, right? There's only one who's holier than thou, right? And it's not me. And it's not anyone here. No human is. And then that sincere desire to be helpful. No fees to pay. No axes to grind. No people to please, right? That's a trap, right? Thinking that I'm here to please my sponsor, or that my sponsees are here to do what I tell them to do, and then they get an A+. So I think that, yeah, this is what we found to be most effective, and what a great reminder, so that I can keep getting humble and keep getting closer to God so that I can try my best to be helpful to others. And thank you so much to everyone for always being so helpful to me. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. That's Lisa C. from New Jersey. Next up, we have Dorita P., followed by Ken W.H. And just to remind you, we are on page 18, the fifth paragraph at the bottom, where it starts that the man who is making the approach, going into page 19, ending in the first paragraph there. So next up, come on in, Dorita P., please, and then Ken H., W.H.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for your service. My name is Dorita Pippen, and I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. I'm really grateful to be here. It's a privilege and honor to be at a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Everybody do not get this opportunity for whatever reason, so I'm really grateful I have a seat here. The man who is making that tape has had the same difficulty, that he obviously knows what he is talking about, that his whole deportment house at the New Prospect, that he is a man with a real answer, that he has no attitude of holier than thou, nothing whatever except the sincere desire to be helpful, that there are no fees to pay, no access to ground, no people to please, no lectures to be endured. These are the conditions we have found most effective. After such intercourse, many take up their beds and walk again. I know for me, I took up my bed and walked again, and the reason why I took up my bed and was able to walk again was that the members of Overeaters Anonymous took me in and took me under their wings, in particular my sponsor. You know, she was so very loving, and you know, the people, the early members, they gave people a reason to kind of want this thing. You know, they really replaced the fellowship with the excess food, just like Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I know in my area, for example, we used to have so many different events and things that, you know, it kind of took your mind off of drinking or eating, you know, extra stuff. And I'm just really grateful for this program. And this particular section reminds me of working with others. The first page on page, I think it's page 90. Let me see if I can get to it. I got about a few more seconds. Okay, let's see. Oh, working with others. You know, on page 89 at the bottom. On page 89 at the bottom, it says, ministers and doctors are competent, and you can learn much from them if you wish, but it happens that because of your own drinking experience, you can be uniquely useful to other alcoholics. So cooperate, never criticize. To be helpful is our only aim. And I'm just really grateful for this program. And so with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dorita. It's Dorita P. from Ohio. Next up, we have Ken W.H., followed by Tony B. And just a reminder, we are commenting on the paragraph from page 18, the fifth paragraph, going into the top of page 19. Come on in, Ken.
Good morning. Thank you. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive overeater from North Carolina. I'm just aware that where we are reading here in the book, that I need to bring it back, kind of rein things in a little bit for myself. We're not talking so much about the fellowship here in this reading, in these couple paragraphs. We're talking about a man, that the ex-problem drinker, that the person is able to share their story, whether or not I did everything that person did or not is not the issue. That person can tell their story honestly and openly is the issue, and that I'm there to hear it and listen. And maybe that what that one person said is enough. That probably isn't the case in most cases. It wasn't for me. I had to hear more people. But it reminds me that it's one alcoholic, one compulsive eater talking to another compulsive overeater. It isn't about it just standing up in front of a whole group of people and telling them things, and my opinions included, but it's about me just sharing my experience, strength, and hope, telling my story, telling what happened to me. And that's when I've learned to read the section and how it works a little differently, where it says our stories disclosed in a general way. I changed that in my own mind to each one of our stories shares in a general way what each one of us used to be like, what happened, and what each one of us is like today. It brings back that singularity in a sense of within the we. You can't have a we without a bunch of I's, frankly. We all have our individual stories, and each story has a nugget or a kernel in it that will speak to somebody, not necessarily everybody. So your story is not my story. All I have to share today is my story, and I pray that when I share what happened to me, what I'm like, and what I'm like today, that somebody might benefit from that. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much. That was Ken W.H. from North Carolina. Next up, we have Tony B. Come on in, Tony.
Thank you, Kathy. My name's Tony B, and I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Scotland. It's great to be reading this paragraph. I certainly had the same difficulty. You know, when I'm talking about my disease, I couldn't stop from starting again. Most importantly, I could stop for periods, but I could not stop from starting again over and over and over. So the main problem for me is that mental problem, because I will always start again. And because of this twist of the mind, there was just no way that I could control my mind, and I was insane. And I must not ever start again. I have to find a way. And because the physical allergy kicks in, and, you know, it's so important that I realize that I can't have one. And I know that I can't have one. And this is what I need to impress upon people, that the mental side, and then this, you know, I will always go on and on and on. Or if I'm a restrictor, I can't restrict by one bit. I'll always obsess and go on and on and on restricting. Yes, I can share with them too that I know I have a real issue. I came to OA, and, you know, now I'm not going out and approaching a new prospect in the way that they were here, you know, going and talk and approaching somebody, because there is a fellowship in place today, you know, so that most people come into OA through the fellowship. And I can share with them that I came into the fellowship knowing I had a problem, but did not find a solution, and what it took me, how it took me time to find that. But also I can share what the disease took from me, which was far more than just the food, you know, just the impact that it had. I was using the food. I suppose that point that it's not really about the food, that the food was a solution to the way I felt, which was insupportable when I wasn't eating, and that there's a solution here for that. And then it talks about deportment. You know, am I walking the walk? Have I reached a healthy body weight? You know, I suppose those sorts of things. This, how am I looking? Am I, and you know, how am I emotionally? Am I coming across like that to people? And then, yes, it's a spiritual solution, but there's no particular religious doctrine. So there's no talking down to anybody. I'm desiring simply to help them to find the solution, God, to put their hand in God's hand. And, you know, yes, there's a desire to be helpful. I'm not sure it's the only desire, because it's also a desire for me to stay alive and recovered. And I do tell people that I must do this, and that there's humility in that, you know, that it's helping me. You know, like Alcoholic Anonymous number 3, Bill Dodson says, you know, it'd be rotten of him not to listen to them if, you know, if
that's
it would be helpful.
Me.
Thank you. And I'll just finish with just saying, what's this approach after such an approach? I think it's love. It's really love, and that miracles happen from that. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Tony B. from Scotland. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others might share their experience too. We're reading on page 18, the fifth paragraph, going into the top of page 19. And after Karen K., I will be able to take a second lineup. Karen, please come in and share with us.
Good morning, family. My name's Karen Kay. I am a compulsive overeater recovering just for today. And thank God for this meeting. I just love hearing all the shares, and it's given me a much better understanding of the big book. In this passage where it says, take up your bed, he took up his bed, that just reminded me of the changes in my life lately. I was, you know, I'm morbidly obese, and I was not taking good care of myself. I was not taking good care of my household. And having gotten abstinent and making these changes in my life, like, things are changing. Like, I am taking care of my household, and I am taking better care of myself, and it feels amazing. And I owe all of that to this program and to God for changing me so drastically in just a short period of time. I'm enjoying recovery so much today, and I appreciate that. And you guys are a huge part of that process. So thanks for letting me share.
Hey, Karen, before you leave, can you tell us where you're calling in from?
Sure. I'm from Mississippi.
Thank you so much. That was Karen Kay from Mississippi, and I am now ready for another lineup. It takes at least four more names. Would anyone else like to share this morning with us?
Sally A. Tasha D., Georgia.
Betty Jean, Connecticut. Okay,
Christina,
I have Sally.
L.
Okay, that's a great lineup. So I have Sally, and then I have Christina L., and then I missed two people. Betty
Trisha
Jean.
D.
Who is besides Betty Jean?
Trisha D., Georgia.
How could I forget you? Oh, sorry. Okay.
Okay.
So we have Sally A., Betty Jean, Trisha D., and Christina L. Come on in, Sally.
Thank you so much, Kathy. It's Sally A. from New York. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm so happy to have an opportunity to share on this paragraph. I'm down in Texas taking care of my oldest daughter who is sick right now. And I'm just so blessed that I could make it to this meeting this morning. So I love this paragraph because what they've tucked into the big book is this little tiny piece. They're giving an example of the entire paragraph. They're telling us that the man who is making the approach, that's us who are recovered, has had the same difficulty as the sick man. And it took me years to realize that I was really sick, that this wasn't a place that I should be ashamed of myself, and I should have shame on other people and look at people and look at myself with this attitude of, what is wrong with you? But here we have, at the very end of this paragraph, this whole, there is a solution, and this paragraph summed up in this last sentence. After such an approach, the approach that the well man who understands from experience, after such an approach, many take up their beds and walk again. So this sentence is coming from John chapter 5. They put it there in the Bible. John 5, the very beginning of the chapter, talks of a story where there's a man who's laying by the pool of Bethesda. The word Bethesda means a place of hope. And he's sitting there, he's laying there among crowds of sick people, as I was. I was a sick person among crowds of other people with this horrible illness, this addiction to food. And it goes on to say that he was sick for 38 years. And phone is unmuted. And this man who was sick for 38 years is laying there desperate to get into the pool. That's a long story. You'll have to look this up to really understand the significance of what I'm saying. But the important thing is that he had been ill for a long time when suddenly my God, Jesus, comes along and makes this important words. He says, do you want to get well? Now, if you look at the bottom of page 13 in our big book, the bottom of 13 talks about the essentials of getting well and of getting recovered. And the essentials are belief in a higher power and enough, just enough, like a recipe of if enough, I heard you, enough willingness. So he's asking, do you want to get well? Because you will not get well until you want it. And he goes on to say, I can't, because he's powerless. Like us, we are powerless. And the most beautiful thing happens where Jesus says to the man, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. And that's what happens to us when we get recovered. We just have to want it enough, and God will do it for us. Thanks for letting me share with that. I pass.
Thank you, Sally. Sally A. from New York. Betty G., before you come in, when you come in, can you tell us where you're calling from? And
yes,
the last initial. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Betty Jean M. calling from Connecticut, recovering in
Thank
Connecticut.
You.
Thank you to everybody doing service today. I appreciate all the shares. When I first came into program, I really didn't get it. I didn't understand the big book. I couldn't relate to stockbrokers in the 50s. So I started going to speaker meetings, and I would go to a speaker meeting online every single day. And I listened to people tell their story, and I listened to them say what it was like, what happened, and what their life was like now. And I could relate to them because they were in the here and the now. They were not the 1950s. They weren't stockbrokers. And I could relate to them. Every word they said was exactly mostly what I had experienced. I marveled at the fact that people I didn't even know were telling my story, people who seemed entirely different from me. Those stories broke the isolation. Those stories made me understand that I was not alone and that there was a solution, that people had used this solution and changed their lives dramatically. You know, I used to listen to those advertisements for the Pay and Way, and they would show some woman saying, I lost 50 or 100 pounds. And I'd think to myself, oh, yeah, honey, come back in 6 months. You'll look like me. This isn't going to last. That was my story. It wasn't until I came into this program that I heard people saying they lost all this weight and they were happy. They weren't miserable like I was when I was on a diet. And I thought, well, they've got something here. Something is happening here that works. And I just kept listening and I kept coming back and I got it. And it was the fellowship. It was all these stories. It was another compulsive eater telling me the truth of their life. Showing me humility, showing me honesty. I was never honest. I was never honest about anything in my life. It was a world of difference. It was a world of change, and it has made all the difference in my life. Today, I'm an entirely new person because this program. My life isn't easy. I still struggle, but now I don't struggle alone. I have a program, and I have people. I have all of you, and I thank you all, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Betty Jean M. from Connecticut. Next up, we have Tricia D., followed by Christina L., and we might have time for another share after Christina. Tricia D. from Georgia, come on in.
Oh, thank you so much. This is Tricia D. from Georgia, a gratefully recovered one day at a time compulsive overeater. You know, when that very first line there, where it says the man or the woman who's making the approach, you know, that's all of us who are in recovery, who are in the process of recovery. But I love the different phrases that are in this paragraph where he says he knows that, quote unquote, what he's talking about. His whole deportment shouts, you know, not speaks, but shouts, because he has such a great message to give. You know, he's a man with a real answer. These are just exciting sentences here, or phrases. No attitude of holier than thou, and then accept a sincere desire to be helpful. You know, working with, and it goes, no axes to grind, no lectures. You know, I read that and I go, what joy it gives a sponsor to a sponsee, or just an OA friend to another friend, sharing experience, strength, and hope. You know, these are things that we just know that you know that you know. And I tell when I share with other people, you know, that I go just steps 1, 2, and 3 are so huge to begin with. You know, step one, we must put the food down. You know, working with a nutritionist or a food plan, the food must be down. And that is sometimes a hard, very hard thing to do. And we all struggle in getting and going through that journey. But once the food is down, then the real action takes over in steps 2 and 3. And where we're learning to submit and surrender to that higher power, who I call God. And I really stress that, you know, making God a priority isn't about squeezing him into our busy day. It's about letting him define our day. Lord, you show me the day, your will, not mine. You know, I just choosing to begin the day with him, walk with him, define with him, you know, just he choosing to depend on him and return everything back to him. But, you know, this our lives are not perfect, but we know that we have, you know, someone in our life who is perfect, and everything starts with him, with our higher power, who I call God. But, you know, the big thing that I find after the food is down, because it's not, the food is not the problem, it's the buildup of emotions. And so that fear then is, that's what I need, why I need that conscious contact with God. Because that, the lies that my fear tells me. The other day driving home from a meeting, I was like, oh, gee, I'm feeling hungry. And then I had to catch myself and have flashbacks of when I was a little girl at my family table, 8 children, mom and dad, 10 of us, food going around the table. And I'm thinking, oh, you got to grab it quick, because when it comes around again, it won't be there. That whole thing of, I might be hungry, that lie from my past, it keeps coming back with me. And I know that I had the conscious presence of my higher power to say, that is a lie, my disease tells me. And I don't need to believe that lie anymore. And I know I can choose to begin again, and with a different thought and a different action. And I can choose to do God's will and not mine, and do what's best for me. And that's when I'm so grateful to share those kind of stories with other people. So we can all take up our beds and walk again. And thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Tricia D. from Georgia. Next up, we have Christina L. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning. This is Christina L. from Florida. Thanks so much for your service, recovered compulsive overeater, and still growing and changing into the woman God desires me to be. You know, there were so many good shares this morning, so thank you everybody for sharing. And, you know, what was coming up for me was nothing whatever except the sincere desire to be helpful. You know, when I came into program, you know, service was something that they told me that, you know, it was slimming. And, you know, so of course I wanted to sign up for that. And I did do service where I could and everything. But for me, you know, the food really had to be down first. I really needed to have that spiritual awakening, which I was having like the garden variety spiritual awakenings as I was going along. But it wasn't until I got to this meeting and a sponsor took me through the big book, and she read the big book to me and she brought it to life for me. That was when I really started to get it. And that was when I really had a sincere desire to be helpful. I remember I could not wait to start sponsoring because I wanted to share with everybody like what I had learned and stuff. And, you know, for me, like others have shared, like the food has to be down. And, you know, when I came in, I was a compulsive overeater, but then I was highly impressionable. I could not think for myself. I didn't know who I was. I mean, to some extent, I still don't quite know who I am. And I'm learning that every day. But, you know, my disease went from a place of compulsive overeating to restricting out of fear that food was going to make me relapse or make me fat or whatever it was. And thankfully today I don't have that. I'm not living that way today and stuff. And, you know, it takes it a lot further than just putting the food down. Right now, for me, what I'm experiencing is just my people-pleasing nature and wanting to be everything to everyone and setting aside, like, who I really am and what really has worked for me to get through these steps. And, you know, I'm really trying to lean into God all the more to just help me to be not just the sponsor, but also the person that God wants me to be. and asking for his direction, his strength to do the things that are being brought into my life to do. One of them is, and I never would have done this in the past, but my son's teacher asked me to be the female chaperone for their competition that's coming up in April. And she said, and by the way, you may have to drive the van. And I'll just finish my thought. That's really scary for me, like to be in charge of 13 teenagers, where I have always been someone who wants to be everything to everyone, and yet I'm going to be in charge of 13 teenagers. So anyways, but God's going to be there, and God will provide, and with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much. That was Christina L. from Florida, and thank you for everyone who shared this morning. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Wednesday, February 11th, 2026, is 23,201. That is 23201. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Tricia D. please come on in and read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Come on in, Tricia.
All righty. Good morning. Thank you. Okay, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.